Christ. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things. Hey, are you looking for evidence? Oh, I said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Satan, you're a liar. I've got faith. Jesus has the power. Brother Jaheim, do you got faith? Good. I need people with some faith. Sister Carissa, you got faith? Yes. Sister Bonnie? Sister Esther? All right. Good. Brother Nelson? Yes. Brother Hall? Brother Josh? Now faith is the substance. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That's it. Go ahead. Go ahead and ask him. Go ahead and talk to him right now. Jesus. Go ahead, child of God. Oh, lift up your voice in faith. Believe God. Trust him. He's able. He's able. He's able. His promises are not slack. His arm is not short. I'm telling you, the power of God is so great, so mighty, that it doesn't even matter. Now listen, I've heard it taught many, many times. Bishop has taught this many, many times, that God heals according to your faith. And he gets that straight out of the Bible. Jesus said it to the blind men that were seeking healing. He said, according to your faith. I believe it. I've preached it. I've got a message according to your faith. But that's not the message I feel like preaching tonight. I feel like preaching right now. I feel like preaching a message of faith about. I didn't say tomorrow, Brother Nelson. Sister Regan, I'm not talking about next week. I'm not talking about in June. I'm not talking about in 27. I'm talking about... Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I wonder who's got faith for right now. Do you have faith for right now? Hallelujah. 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 Amen. I guess you can be seated since we read the text already. Maybe we should say a prayer. Now, don't sit down on me, metaphorically speaking. You can sit down. Get a breath. Y'all been standing a while. For 46 minutes, to be exact. But do you believe God can do anything? Now, I got started saying something, and then I cut myself off. So let me finish saying what I was going to say. That God's power is so powerful that even in an environment of weak faith, even in a area where there is a limited measure of faith, he is still able to work. I've heard it preached, as I've said, it's according to your faith. So, and I'm not backing up on that one ounce, one bit. But I want you to understand that as long as you have faith, if the measure of your faith is greater than zero, then guess what? You got enough faith. What did Jesus say to the disciples? If you have faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, remove ye to yonder place, and it... What? Yeah, that's pretty clear. I don't know what you're expecting tonight. I'm about as tired as some of you, and I could tell you're tired. And I know that some of you have been at it all day. But wouldn't it be amazing if God just stepped into this place, renewed our strength, met our needs? Hallelujah. I believe God wants to do it. I said, I believe God wants to do it. Mark chapter 6, verse 4 says, but Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. Verse 5, and he could there do no mighty work. God's works. God wanted to do some works. But in this particular area, he was limited. But that doesn't mean he didn't do anything. Save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and he healed them. Now, specifically, this is what I feel like the Lord wants to do tonight. I feel like the Lord confirmed it just a few moments ago, at least for me. So I hope you'll do it for you. Amen. In just a few moments. I don't plan to preach very long. I've got a short list of scriptures. Amen. But I'm trusting in the Lord tonight because I believe that he wants to heal at the least, at the minimum, a few sick folk. Right now. Now, I'm not really worried because it has nothing to do with Jared. I don't have anything in my fingertips, except probably the residue of the Mexican food that I had this afternoon. I don't have anything, special about me, other than this one fact that I believe in the Word of God. That is the thing that distinguishes us from every other type of denomination, every other type of Christian that is pursuing a walk with God. Now, I'm not going to accuse them and say to them that they're intentionally being misled. I believe that they are honest-hearted, because that's earnest-hearted sounded kind of weird when it came out. So I'll say honest-hearted. Honest-hearted and earnest. You okay with that, Brother Hall? All right, thank you. People who are trying to pursue a relationship with God that have found themselves trapped in traditional places. And now they're limited. Oh, I'm going to get in trouble. But they're limited by their faith, by the measure of faith that is in that tradition. They can believe God for this much. They can believe God for just so much. And then it stops. Amen. The Bible, my Bible still tells me in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Let me get it so I don't mess up the quotation here. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Do you believe the word of God? That's truth. That's not my opinion. That is a man of God that was inspired by the Holy Ghost to pen those words. Without faith, you can't even begin to please God. So I believe there's a lot of folks in those denominations, in those church sectors that are pursuing as much as their faith permits. Hallelujah. Amen. But let me preach to the folks that I've come to preach to tonight. We've entered into a Pentecostal church house tonight. We claim to have an apostolic faith. We claim to have the same measure of faith that Apostle Peter and Apostle John and Apostle Paul had. I'm not going to go over there. I'm going to make the girls nervous. I saw them looking at me. Oh, no, what's Brother Hilton going to do? Just kidding. I was so thrilled with some of these young ladies at the youth service the other night, praying and seeking God. Amen. The glory of God came on them while they were praying. Why? Because their faith was being built. That's what Jude said. Building up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. If you want more faith, I'll just give you a key right now. Amen. You need to pray until you're speaking in other tongues, and you'll receive a Holy Ghost jolt of faith. Because it takes faith to get there. It takes faith to find, amen, that precious moment in God's glory where the Spirit begins to flow and begins to fill you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm talking about the kind of faith where Eutychus is sitting in a window and Paul's preaching. And he preaches and he preaches and he preaches. And then some point in that message, Eutychus dozes off. If you've been there, say, oh, me. Okay. One time I was down in Africa, and I made the stupid mistake. I told Bishop, I could never fall asleep in these lessons. Because of what God's doing. And I'm like, oh. I thought I was being honest. I don't think it was like two or three sessions later, I had the spirit of Eutychus on me. I'm not going to admit or deny. I'm just telling you that the same amount of faith that Paul had when he went walking down those stairs, I can imagine as a preacher running across this scenario. And a young man falls out of the window while I'm preaching. That would be terrible. I would feel terrible. And maybe Paul felt terrible. And then maybe his mind jumped to like, okay, what's next? What's going to happen? Do we need to do the funeral? What do we have to do here with Eutychus? But I will say this, at some point between the conclusion of Paul's message and the time that he laid his hands on Eutychus, a jolt of faith hit that man. And he said, this is not going to happen tomorrow. This is not going to happen next week. This is about to happen right now. Jesus is not here to say the resurrecting statement. Peter's not here to preach the message of faith. It's just me, little old Paul. Okay, everybody knows that Paul probably did not have any confidence issues, but I'm just telling you that at some point, Paul developed enough faith to say, right now. Right now. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. How do we go from a few sick folk to the resurrection of dead bodies? How do we go, church, from just a few infrequent, transient miracles to every time the doors are open? Anybody got a guess? Yeah, good answer. At some point, we've got to arrive at the same level of faith that Apostle Peter, that Apostle Paul, that these men who are preaching and teaching the words of Jesus. I'm not preaching to you some kind of hooky and spooky doctrine. I'm just preaching to you what happened in the Bible and what God expects to happen in 2026. Hallelujah. Amen. You can see in this passage that we just read that it was God's desire, amen, to do many mighty works. Hallelujah. God wants to do many mighty works in the city of Olathe. Amen. And in Gardner. Amen. And in Platte City. Amen. And all around the Kansas City metropolitan. Hey, Paul, what do you think? Amen. Eutychus just fell out the window. Hey, Peter. Amen. They're lining them up on the street. Amen. Will you dare walk out of the tabernacle? Hallelujah. Church, I'm telling you, right now, God wants to do miracles. Right now, God wants to heal. Right now, right now, right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. There are countless examples. I don't have time to get through all this. But in Matthew 4, verse 23 through 24, Matthew 8, verse 16, Matthew 9, 35, Matthew 12, 15, Luke 4, 40, Luke 6, 19, Acts 5, 15, we begin to see the apostles begin to do it. Every single time someone approached Jesus and said, I need it. I need a healing. I need a miracle. God didn't say, let me look at your background. Let me see all this. No. The Bible says at the end of each of those passages that I just read, and he healed them, and he healed all that were sick, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people, and he healed them all, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them, and there went virtue out of him and healed them all. When the woman with the issue of blood came crawling, amen, and stumbling, amen, under the feet of the crowd and the multitude, she was not hoping for a miracle tomorrow. She was not hoping for a miracle at the end of the month. She was not hoping, amen, that at some point she went up to Jesus and said, right now, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. And the Bible says, immediately, Jesus felt virtue. Immediately, Brother Josh. Oh, I'm telling you, amen. I'm going to say it again right now. Right now, God wants to perform healings in this service right now. Right now, God wants to do a miracle right now. Right now. I'm doing my very best not to beat around the bush. I'm doing my very best to make it as clear and as precise as you can hear it. Right now, God wants to do a miracle. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I struggled this afternoon. In my mind and in my spirit, I'm like, holy cow. What if I get up there and I preach a message about right now and nothing happens? What then? What if we get to a point in the service tonight? Hello, we're here. And I feel something, amen, and that there is a struggle. And you know what? Let me just tell you, this is not a new dynamic. This is not a new challenge. People have struggled with faith for a long time. But I'm here to tell this church, it doesn't matter. You don't have to be some spiritual, just walking in the Holy Ghost kind of personality to achieve this kind of miracle. I don't have time to go. There's no way I can recount every story, but I've heard preachers upon preachers say, I just prayed a simple prayer and God did the work. I just said a simple prayer and God answered the prayer. I cannot express to this church how great a desire I have for miracles and signs and wonders to be accomplished in this last day. This is a part of the New Testament church. And if we don't experience it, then friends and family, I want you to hear me clearly. We are not fully apostolic. Put the name on the sign. Read the Bible verses as often as you like. But if you can't achieve that kind of faith, don't get me wrong. I'm not comparing. There is no comparison. Paul said that it's not wise to compare yourself among yourselves. That's not wise. That's not what I'm doing here. I'm not comparing me with you and you with me and you with her and her with him. And that's not what we're doing. I'm comparing myself with the book of Acts. With what took place within the pages of this beautiful book of truth. We teach baptism in Jesus' name as absolute truth. We teach the infilling of the Holy Ghost is absolute necessity for salvation. We preach holiness and separation unto God as essential doctrines. But I'm here to declare, amen, as emphatically as those other doctrines, the doctrine of healing, the doctrine of miracles, the doctrine of deliverance. Hallelujah. When Jesus went through Capernaum, when Jesus went through his hometown, amen, he could not do many mighty works, although he wanted to. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. But I want you, amen, to see from the scripture what it looks like when somebody goes with now faith. With right now faith. Acts chapter 5 verse 15. I mentioned it a minute ago. Let me read it to you. In so much that they brought forth the sick into the streets. And lay them on beds and couches. That at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. Amen. Amen. I want you to understand. Amen. That miracles and healings and deliverances. Amen. Flip through the book of Acts. Amen. Almost on every page you see an instance of yet another miracle. And nowhere do you see the man Christ Jesus in flesh walking among the apostles. These were holy men of God, anointed and empowered by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I'm after it. I'm desirous of it. I don't want to try to go another year, amen, without the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. We heard it this morning. Amen. But all of those who have received the Holy Ghost and those were healed and delivered in the book of Acts and after Jesus' miracles. Amen. There was a common theme. Matthew 15 verse 31 says, in so much that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see. Amen. They saw all of this and the end result was this, that they glorified the God of Israel. That's the purpose. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Acts 5 and 12 tells us, by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them, and believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women. Hallelujah. 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 I wonder if any of you have a need that could bring glory to God right now. How many of you have a need right now that could bring glory to God? All over this sanctuary. Got a need that could bring glory to God. I want you to understand it is God's desire. It's God's desire to do many mighty works. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. James 5 and 14, another apostle, the brother of Jesus, says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. There's no ambiguity in this passage. There's no gray area. If you pray the prayer of faith, it shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. That's apostles. That's the apostles' doctrine. I've already mentioned I'm coming to a close. So this is as far as we go. Almost, I guess. As far as I go. But I'm going to have, I'm going to ask this church, if you've got a need, I'm going to ask you to line up in an old-fashioned prayer line. And I'm going to ask you to stand in the center aisle here, and whoever first comes, not yet, but whoever comes first, I want to ask you to come and request prayer from the elders of this church, according to the word of the Lord that we just read. And I want you to know, I was talking to one recently, and they mentioned to me, amen, one of the challenges that they have mentioned, or that they've come up against. And I thought this was worth noting and thinking about and praying about. But I don't want to just go through the motions they were describing. They were saying, I don't want to just respond because of out of obligation and so on. I want there to be a genuine measure of faith there. That when the prayer happens, that they're not just praying a prayer, but that they're praying the prayer of faith. So I again, I'm not anybody. Bishop, if he's willing and able, he could join me and praying for those of you who have needs that want prayer. But I want to assure you that I've seen this man pray the prayer of faith many, many times. And if I'm praying for you tonight, I want you to be assured that I'm praying with all the faith that God has given to me. I'm not praying because it's Jared. I'm not praying because of any, this is not a performance. I'm not trying to create a performance. I just want you to know that I'm praying with right now faith. I'm not praying for tomorrow. So if your need is something that may happen over time, I would politely request that you pray for that on your own. But if you have faith for right now, then I want you to request prayer tonight and ask the Lord to heal you, not tomorrow, not next week, but right now. I'm not trying to be rude. I'm just trying to set up some parameters here. Is that acceptable to the congregation? So, shall we play some music? This is the works of God. And God will receive all of the glory. And that's the reason that he will perform whatever works he will perform tonight. And I want you to understand, and I've intentionally slowed this down because I want you to know I'm not motivating I'm not trying to appeal to an emotional response or generate some kind of hype. That's not what we're shooting for tonight. I want you to come, and I want you to pray right now faith, with right now faith that God is going to heal you tonight. All right, so a minute ago, I asked everybody to raise your hands, and it was not a gotcha. But this is the first step of committal, of commitment here, okay? So if you had a need that God could receive glory right now out of, I want to ask you now, and this is no judgment. I'm not comparing you with anybody else in this room. I couldn't remember everybody that lifted their hands if I wanted to. But how many believe that God can heal you and receive the glory for your situation, not somebody else's, your situation right now? Okay, if you raised your hand, I want to ask you to come to the center aisle. In this church, we've seen a pattern develop of attempting to appeal to some who perhaps struggle with faith or struggle with a response. And I think Bishop, and I've talked to him about this, so this is hopefully it's not a surprise, but I think in some ways, not in every way and not in every case or every scenario, but in some ways, it can become a hindrance. You can begin playing when you're ready. And the pattern that I'm mentioning is going to someone and praying for them in their pew or where they're at. And that's fine. Again, I'm not preaching against it. There have been times in the past where God has used that to help someone get to the next level. In fact, just recently, I went to pray for a lady in this church, and before I even got back to her, she was already shouting. She had already received everything she needed from God. And so the reason I want to explain that as the reason why I'm asking you to come tonight, or whatever your need is, and I'm going to ask you what your need is, and we're going to pray together the prayer of faith, and God is going to do many mighty works right now. Amen. Let's believe. Let's pray together.